Roseanne, it is wonderful to speak to you, with you. I really appreciate it. Cold Road is a ton of fun. I mean, it is genuinely effective and harrowing. And what was it that attracted you to the film? What brought you into the role of Tracy?
I think that it was an attractive film in a couple of ways, but it was equally terrifying to jump into just because, I mean, the subject matter is one thing as an actress, as a performer, but dealing with the elements that we were dealing with while filming and that I was kind of, I mean, you know, they kind of let me know, like, it's going to be cold. Like, you're going to
It's
be
in the
outside.
title. It's in the title.
It's literally in the title of the film. So I had to do a lot of mental preparation, and I just had to sort of go back into my own personal history and remember the things that I was taught growing up, because I grew up in northern Alberta, so we had our fair share of cold winters. Yeah, so I had to kind of get back into like my bush girl mode as opposed to my city girl mode.
I was wondering about that. Is that where you shot it? Is in northern Alberta? Like it, this terrain looks rough.
Yeah, no, we shot it in Hay River in Treaty, which borders Treaty 8 and Treaty 11 in the Northwest Territories, that for most of the exterior shots. And then we filmed for about 3 days in studio. Anytime that you see an interior shot of Tracy inside of the car, we filmed that in 3 days in studio, and it's about half the film.
Oh,
So
wow.
I felt like I filmed a whole movie, like filming for 3 weeks straight in the cold up north. And then I felt like I went shot another movie in studio in 3 days. It was a wild ride to say the least.
Well, I mean, that's interesting because, again, like this, that's one of the things I love about this film is that it really makes use of those scenes because it's very claustrophobic. Like it's you in this car for about half the film, as you say. Was that daunting for you as an actor? Because there's a lot of it where it's just you on camera in this small enclosed space.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have too much time to think about it, honestly. I was in university at the time, and I actually had to drop out of university to take on the film, and I made a lot of sacrifices in terms of like just in terms of getting there, in terms of like personal sacrifice of like how much university meant to me. I had to get someone to come watch my son right away because it was kind of at the drop of a hat. It was like, we need you. Can you fly out right away? And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I was making these big life-changing sort of decisions in a really quick amount of time. At the time, like I had a plan, and that doing this film was not necessarily part of the plan. But I had a feeling about this movie. Something told me, like, you need to do this. Like, you can't not do this film. And I really felt like, and I know it might sound strange, but before I went to do the film, you know, reading the script and just intuitively, I knew that this was a death-defying role, performance, job, so to speak. I knew that it would take a really strong person in order to pull this film off. And I'm a tough cookie. I've been through some stuff in my life, and I knew that I'd be strong enough to do it. Did that mean that, you know, I'm not like, did that mean I'm not scared? No, of course, there were parts of me that were like, you know, I'm kind of scared, to be honest. But I still went ahead and did it. And sacrificing university, it hurts. I remember I felt really, I'm so grateful for the hair and makeup team who are on this show because I felt their support in so many ways. They worked so hard to keep me warm, and they also worked really hard to keep me like emotionally stable. And I remember the last week that we were filming, I had to send in my withdrawal and I just like broke down because I was getting like high marks. I was getting like high 80s, mid 90s, and I was really excited about what I was accomplishing in university. And so anyways, that's all to say that like it kind of felt like I was going through that in the film because Tracy is not planning any of this stuff that's happening. It's kind of just like coming out of left field. She's like blindsided by it. She's not anticipating anything that's going on. There's a lot of shocking elements of what's happening in the film. And the claustrophobic aspect of it, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel it was reminiscent of like, I think the film was called 127 Hours, or there was also that film by I think Ryan Reynolds did a film where he was like trapped and he was
Buried.
like buried. So like about 10 years ago or so, and this is funny because it was when I was studying acting very intensely in Vancouver, like all these really great like claustrophobic films were coming out. So I kind of those were like going on in my mind when I was like reading the script and thinking about like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing.
That's a great comparison, actually. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, those two films, I mean, it's just you and the elements, so to speak. But I have to ask you about your co-star, because you do have one,
I do.
and I'm just found out, like, apparently this dog that you were working with is blowing up. He's got his own website now, and what.
I'm so proud of him. I'm so happy for him. No one deserves it more than he does.
it's you and him in the car. Like, what was like he's very good in this film. Like, I mean, obviously I know that, but he's giving you the looks. What was it like working with him?
He gives so many looks. I'm really impressed by his talent. I'm impressed by his skill set. I felt like this is someone beyond a dog. This is someone who has like this tremendous soul. This is a and I, you know, I love animals. I actually grew up on a farm for the formative years of my life, and being around animals just is kind of second nature to me, and I love dogs so much. They're great, and he's a great dog, and he was a great friend to have while we were filming, and it's incredible because I think the filmmaker Kelvin Redvers, he had said that there was just this sort of like knowing that he was like, I'm writing this role for this dog because his family kept noticing how incredible this dog was. So for those who it's already kind of getting around and some people already know about it, but it's his sister's dog, and I can't remember who trained him, but he sort of was naturally gifted to begin with. So yeah, they brought this tremendous little soul, Caribou, into the film, and he's just so incredible. Very, very great to work with, and quite the scene stealer. There's moments where I was like, oh man, he's good. I was like, yeah, I'm taking notes. He's really good.
It's funny because, like, a lot of the time, he just looks very focused for an animal co-star, and I thought this is like the, I mean, to play off of him must have been a lot of fun, but also a challenge as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times he wasn't actually there. It was only when we're filming him and we're on him do we really see him on set. There's a lot of when I'm talking to him for some parts, I don't know how many, only Kelvin really knows that, but there were a lot of parts where I was just sort of playing an eye line and I had to pretend like he was there. Because, you know, just being a dog, he can only have so many hours on set before he's getting like a little skittish, or you know, not that he gets skittish, but it's just he's an animal, right?
Animal.
So yeah, it's that way with a lot of animals. So at some point they have to be like, okay, I mean, he's very well behaved, don't get me wrong. Really, really great little guy, and his handler was so lovely to work with, and I hope he has like a long career, and I hope he makes it in Hollywood. I was telling someone else, I was like, he needs like his own Air Bud movie. Like he needs, oh my, This is man's best friend. Like, I don't know if Calvin's got like any animal movies up his sleeve, but he's got a great actor to work with there, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's true, but honestly, your work in this film is pretty amazing. And one of the things I love about this film, like I said, that no matter where you go, it feels harrowing, you know, whether you're on the road or in a restaurant. And I wanted to ask you about safe spaces. You know, I think that that's one of the things that this film, I mean, certainly Tracy is looking for some place that she feels safe, but there's any number of issues that comes up. And I was wondering, for in your mind, what does it mean to create or find a safe space?
Right. It's I mean, to be an Indigenous woman in this country on a day-to-day basis often feels like a political statement. To live, to exist as an Indigenous person feels political. When you even look at it on a constitutional basis, the foundation of Canada is sort of predicated on the erasure of my people. It's built on a legacy of let's get rid of the quote unquote Indian problem, you know, and we were referred to as such for centuries. We were literally called the Indian problem, especially in Ottawa, as we took on this sort of like settler colonial state with all this legislation about like what do we do about these natives? And then the RCMP were born from that. It was like, we need you to control these people. They're not like us, and we need you to control them, and we need you to manipulate them so they're more like us. And then they introduced residential schools. They brought in the church, priests and nuns. We need you to control these people, and we need it to start from birth and from childhood so that you mold these people into us. And if they're not us, get rid of them. And there's this really sad, unfortunate culture, this dark history that our nation unfortunately has. And I'm from the school of thinking that I like to see people working together to get along. I like to see bridges being built. I like to see people having, you know, difficult conversations, but necessary conversations. And I think that unfortunately, and in my own personal experience, things aren't necessarily getting better. Colonialism is insidious. It has this really strange way of sneakiness. It's very sneaky. And, you know, racism likes to transform itself as well, as opposed to transmuting itself. So we have a lot of work to do as a nation. We have a lot of work to do as where there are allies to Native people. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to make Indigenous women feel safe. And you know, a lot of it also has to do with daily participation from allies. It's sort of just like we can't just have, you know, every June we pay attention to Native people and their issues. You know, every September 30th we pay attention and we say we wear our orange t-shirt and we say every child matters. It's actually allyship needs to be done on a day-to-day basis. So I think one of the main things that allies can do, because I also don't like when people have these conversations and then they just leave all this air and space to be filled with no real practical application. And I think what allies can do is just sort of take it upon themselves, even on social media, to just have a daily connection. What is going on with Native people today? Is there a post I can share? Is there an Indigenous person missing? Can I share a post about it? No matter if I think my friends are going to look down upon me or roll their eyes at me and with microaggressions, even as an ally, can I share a post that's supporting Native people? Can I use my voice to help and support Native people? Was there a violation of some sort that's in court, going to a courthouse? Is there a news article? You know, it's just these little things where allies can use their voice on a daily basis, because they can take their voices to spaces that a lot of Native people can't. So in terms of like us feeling safe, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. And I think that's what we're talking about here in Cold Road is that, hey guys, it's 2024 and natives are still dealing with this nonsense. Not just natives, but women too, because it's women who are on these roads who feel terrified. I mean, lots of people in general feel terrified when they go into like an isolated road. But I think what Kelvin's done a really, really good job of accomplishing here is that we're making it universal. Like anyone who watches this film is going to feel like, hey, I'm not even a native woman and I've been on an isolated road and I have felt terrified and I haven't. And I've had audience members like come up to me as we're touring the film who have been like, yeah, at this part, I was thinking, why didn't she do this? And I thought, well, what would I have done in that situation? So what this film is also offering is like, it's like a doorway to compassion for people to realize maybe I would make the same mistakes. Like there's a part in the film, no spoilers, but there's a part in the film where even I judge Tracy because she does something incredibly stupid. And I'm like, why would you do that? And then I realize she's in fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode. She's going into survival mode and she's scared and she's panicking. And when you panic, you make mistakes. So there's these really, and I hope audience members who watch this film, I hope they take like a sort of personal, they have personal reflection of like having compassion for her because it's like, nobody's perfect. And who wants to be caught in a situation where they're being hunted on the highway? So it's like, what would you don't, you kind of don't know what you would do until it like actually happens to you. And God forbid that happened to anybody. Right.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even going into that universal aspect that you mentioned, I mean, the villain per se, the driver, it's not really specified. We just know general. So even the threat is sort of like just this idea of threat. It hits in multiple situations and ideas. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's one of the things I like about Tracy too, is there's a strength within her. Like there are moments where she may make decisions we question, but there, it continues to grow. Like from the beginning of the film to the end, there's a strength within her to fight back, which I think is beautiful. I think that's beautiful to take a stand, if you will. But yes, I really think that that's true. And I love what you're saying about allies as well, about, you know, so that we can keep these conversations going as opposed to 1 month a year and 1 day at the end or something like this is a conversation that continues to go. Honestly, Roseanne, the film is so much fun and it has so much to say. Thank you so much for the time to chat with you. I really appreciate it. It's such a fun piece. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful that we had this conversation too. And I hope people enjoy the show. I mean, at the end of the day, even though we're talking about these sort of deep and important subjects, it is a fun show. It's meant to be a thriller. It's meant to have people white knuckling and being on the edge of their seats. So in that regard, I think Kelvin and I and everyone involved did a pretty good job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. From beginning to end, it does a great job. It gets us, it does what it wants to do. So thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Thank you.